Forgers and Artists, True Stories. Narrated by Paul Sperra. Éric Piédois Le Tiec and the False Caesars. It's the end of September 2001 in Grasse, in the south of France. A network of traffickers is dismantled. 200 forgeries are put under seal. In November of that same year, an operation is organized to arrest 3 people. It has taken 8 years of investigation to bring 11 defendants to the stand and 5 days of debates to untangle the knots of the story that will follow. This is the story of Éric Piédois Le Tiec, known simply as Le Tiec. Originally from Brittany, Éric grew up in the 1960s in Tourette-sur-Loup, which is today called Saint-Paul-de-Vence. The libertine and creative atmosphere of the small town is so inspiring that many artists have made their nest there. Debuffet, Ernst, Matisse worked in Vence. Renoir, Soutine, and Modigliani in Saint-Paul. Marc Chagall and Alberto Giacometti chose to be buried there. A fan of rock music, Éric Piédois has had a slightly punkish attitude and style of dress ever since his teenage years. He tries to assimilate into the trendy circles, the contemporary art parties, and he rubs shoulders with artists like Armand, Ben, Calder, César, or Yves Klein. He even meets Mick Jagger and Andy Warhol during a party at the Rolling Stones bassist Bill Wyman's house, where he's a guest. With a Nikon, the camera given to him by his grandfather, a painter and architect, Éric scours the happenings and photographs every moment of the lives of the artists around him. Éric Piédois enters the International School of Art Deco in Nice, but his career struggles to take off and his works do not please. Perhaps he is not very good, because he fails his exams, too academic and not open enough, according to his teachers. However, the lifestyle he covets has a cost. He goes to the Villa Thiol, which prepares him for the elitist competition. He won't fare any better there, to the great displeasure of Marcel Huguenin, his color teacher, trained by Fernand Léger. At the age of 24, the book authored by the forger Fernand Le Gros, which he read several years earlier, comes back to Éric's mind. For him, it's an epiphany. He dips a blank sheet of paper in his cup of Earl Grey tea and dries it. The paper seems to have aged 40 years. He draws a carriage against the background of the Albert Premier garden in Nice with graphite and compares it to the Dufy of the 40s in his catalog. He finds it not too bad, so he tries his luck and offers his drawing on the Cours Salea. He sells it for nearly 1,000 euros to a peddler who describes the work as masterful. Le Tiec has just sold his first fake with such ease that he realizes that those he took for great experts are only men with their faults, and that a little smoke and mirrors can work miracles. In addition to bringing in money, the profession of forger gives him the adrenaline he loves and the pride of fooling those who think they are above others. Not only that, Piédois is a man who likes a challenge, and each forgery, each plagiarized artist, represents a challenge in itself. He could be satisfied with plagiarizing dead artists, but he chooses to enter the skin of his contemporaries and friends. He has access to their habits, their daily lives, their studios. What sunk Van Meegeren, that isotope of lead in the paintings, will not lose Le Tiec, since he uses the very material of the copied artists. He begins by studying the intellectual logic of Fernand Léger, taught to him by Huguenin. He learns that Léger's works are under suspicion in the art world because his widow, Nadia Léger, has herself made and distributed many forgeries after the death of her husband. Only works authenticated during Fernand Léger's lifetime have a real value in the eyes of collectors. However, Piédois' creations are only gouaches and lead pencil drawings. He dates them before the artist's death, signs them, and returns to sell them on the Cour Salaya. He then tackles the works of Chagall, his neighbor, then César, Miró, Giacometti, Lautrec. Their reputation is well established, and there's no need to invent stories of a grieving widow to sell the works, which were sold like chocolate bread at the end of the school day. Lautrec earns a good living, and so do those who buy his drawings, because they sell them for even more. Between two lines of cocaine, he buys his first car, a Beetle convertible. 4 years later, Éric Piédois is still rocking out at the wild, drunken, powdery evenings. He meets Andy Warhol in Monaco during an opening in 1979. Punks with green mohawks, three of his friends and him getting out of the Beetle next to the Ferraris, will cause a sensation, so much so that Warhol will produce a work thanks to a photograph of Éric taken at the party. In 1983, Éric crosses paths with Richard Fulton. Éric writes in his book that his great-grandfathers melted steel into railroad tracks in the United States. Richard inherited the stock of this heavy industry, as well as one of the largest collections of modern and antique art, and he was melting it into lines of coke. Fulton's mansion on the Flossan estate in Saint Paul would be home to many debauched parties. To take revenge on his parents for depriving him of the inheritance he would like to squander, Fulton helps Piédois develop a scheme and earn money. Éric Piédois, with the help of Helmut, a former classmate from the Art Deco school specializing in the artists of the second half of the 19th century, makes copies of paintings from the collection belonging to Richard's parents. They travel to Tel Aviv and sell to private collectors a Cézanne, two Matisse, a Renoir, and two Picassos for $5.5 million. The following year, a gallery owner denounces Lautrec on suspicion of having sold him fake Chagalls. The police raids his apartment and, thinking they've discovered stolen works, arrests him on the spot. After a long interrogation, he proves to the investigators that he's the author of the works in his apartment, and he's sentenced to a few months in prison. After his release, Éric starts sculpting, especially in the manner of César. He starts by making fake preparatory drawings that he resells without difficulty. He then tries his hand at metallic compressions, which he offers to the Ferrero Gallery, the artist's favorite place. However, César regularly visits his friend Jean Ferrero, founder of the gallery. Of course, he discovers these works, which are not his own. He crosses the drawings out in black and writes the words ultra fake. The two men easily track down Éric Piédois, who, by the greatest of coincidences, has the same lawyer as the artist. The lawman serves as an intermediary to solve the case, no one wanting it to get out in the press. Éric agrees to stop lowering the artist's value by producing forgeries. But at César's death in 1998, the agreement no longer holds. Lautrec resumes his lucrative business. Éric sets up a real industry of fake works with Franck, his brother, and a friend to whom he's passed on his know-how. His mother, Lucienne, makes the certificates. About 15 other people will be involved to sell the goods, art dealers, gallery owners, collectors. More than 2,000 works are produced under César's name. Their sale is facilitated by the conflict between César's heirs and the state. But then 2001 rolled around and marked the end of this flourishing market. Four paintings are stolen from a gallery owner in Saint-Paul-de-Vence, and he mentions the name of Éric Piédois in the list of visitors. In total, 100 people will be investigated, including our forger. Although he has nothing to do with the stolen works, Lautrec's traffic is discovered very quickly. At 6 o'clock in the morning on September 27, 2001, the police knock on the forger's door. Anissa, his girlfriend of the moment, throws herself on the lock to make it look like they're not there. This gives Eric time to destroy the drugs, the data on his computer, and some of the forgeries he was holding. He gathers all the evidence that can be burned in his bathtub and sets it on fire. During his trial, Eric does not deny any of this. His brother Franck is released. Laurent Strouk, a Parisian gallery owner, Guy Peters, a Belgian art dealer, and their intermediaries are among the defendants, but are awaiting their trial. Piedois will be held in Nice on remand until 2002. On November 30, 2009, the César trial opens, while Eric Piedois is again detained for another case. The trial is postponed until January 25, 2010. Eric Piedois Letièque is sentenced to 10 years in prison. He's imprisoned in Grasse. In June 2010, infected with HIV and hepatitis C, he requests a suspension of sentence for medical reasons, which is denied. Upon his release from prison in 2011, he chooses to set up as a gallery owner in Grasse. He now paints in his own name, and he published a book in 2019 about the underbelly of the art market. Eric Piedois Letièque died in September 2021 following a mugging aimed at stealing his watch, a simple copy of a real one. Irony or fate? Did you like this episode? Feel free to comment, share, and rate it. See you soon for new stories. Midnight Studio, addictive podcast creator.